Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Matt Report Season 9. It's the almost the end of May. And a year and a half ago, I had a gentleman on by the name of Dan Mabey, and he was launching something called WP and Up, which you already know that if you visit store.mattreport.com and purchase a hat or a t-shirt, I donate 100% of the profits to that organization supporting mental health in the WordPress space. And now it's known as a Big Orange Heart. They're making a rebrand to a sort of brand name and brand recognition that goes beyond the WordPress space. We're going to learn all about why he did that, what the transition looked like during this sort of whole COVID-19 pandemic, and what the future holds for a Big Orange Heart. So I really hope you enjoy today's episode. You can get up on the mailing list over at business5000.com. Go to business5000.com, subscribe to that mailing list. It's the Idea Accelerator. You have an idea, you pitch the idea there. We share it with others on the email list. Go ahead and check that out, business5000.com. Let's dive in to today's episode. Let's take a look at today's first sponsor. You heard him last time. Check out WC.com. Check out WC.com, like WooCommerce. Well, because it's for WooCommerce. It's an optimized checkout page for WooCommerce. Checkout WC replaces your checkout page with a beautiful, responsive, and conversion-optimized design. Best part about it, and I know this is the best part because it's got a little fire emoji next to it on the website, it works with every WordPress theme. You can get a free 7-day trial at checkoutwc.com. Check out that animated GIF they have. It actually kind of shows how you can customize the elements of a checkout page because we want to get money as fast as possible. Right? We don't want to confuse the checkout process for our customers. We want to make it streamlined. We want to make it efficient. And if you're somebody who's using these powerful page builder tools like an Elementor, a Beaver Builder, you want to be able to code this stuff as easy as possible. And when I say code this stuff, I mean you don't even need code, right? You want to do it the power user way. That's what checkoutwc.com helps you do. Over the last 30 days, they've processed over $6.5 million in sales with 41,000 orders. It's crazy. It's powerful. It's checkoutwc.com. And today's second sponsor is TranslatePress, TranslatePress.com, WordPress translation plugin that anyone can use, a better way of translating your WordPress site directly from the front end, with full support for WooCommerce, complex themes, and site builders. A WordPress translation plugin that's easy to use for a change. Yeah, because I've looked at translation plugins before, and they are not easy. And they are performance hogs, and they break caching, and they're complex. You have to hook them up to all these services. TranslatePress does it all for you. It starts at $79 a year for one website. I mean, look, this is powerful stuff. You have a big project, you have a multi-site project, you're working on a multinational project. This is the plugin for you, TranslatePress. It does an amazing job at translating your WordPress site. TranslatePress.com, check it out. It's fast, efficient, beautifully designed. They have a little video right on the homepage. You click it and you can watch it. I'm watching it right now. It's 3 minutes and 17 seconds long. It's quick. It'll show you how to set it up, how to translate those pages right inside your WordPress site. TranslatePress.com.
Awesome. Matt, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I need to come have a chat with you.
I'm excited to talk about this sort of rebrand, this maybe new approach to doing business and sort of diving into, why you made the change, how it's been going, and how the past WP and Up efforts are rolling into this. But if folks haven't heard you from our last episode a year and a half ago, January 21st, 2019, who are you and what do you do?
First off, I can't believe that was 18 months ago, but thank you. I'm Dan Mabey, as you mentioned. I'm the founder of Big Orange Heart. Big Orange Heart is a registered charity that promotes and supports positive well-being and mental health within the remote working communities. We have, as you mentioned, recently gone through a pivot of a rebrand into a new name. previously we were WP and Up. WP and Up had a very, very, very similar mission to support and promote positive mental health within the WordPress community. So there's been an awful lot of work gone on, and I'm really happy to come and share some of that and share some of the experiences that we've had and what's led us into this journey and why we're here having this conversation.
You don't have to be a business analyst or a branding specialist to maybe figure out that WP and Up sort of put your efforts into a box. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair statement? Like, people just recognize it as just a WordPress thing, and maybe not something that could help anyone who's a freelancer or remote worker, specifically in these times, right, where we have businesses doing work from home or people going into the freelancing space, not even using WordPress. But was that really the big, you know, sort of elephant in the room there? Was that, look, we have to get away from this WordPress thing?
So it's been a really interesting journey, actually, this. We have, from day one, so before we'd even launched WP and Up, we always had the intention to be able to, or the desire to try and help as many as we possibly can with the services and the services that we're developing and the services that we've developed for our community. So we had always said that there was, you know, as part of our 3 and 5 year plan, WP and Up would evolve. It would develop into more. It would become more. Where are we? We're about 18 months, a little over 18 months into our 3 year plan. And we have had to evolve a lot quicker, and we've pivoted a lot quicker. And a big factor to that change was the current global crisis. There's a lot of individuals that we are having conversations with, and, you know, a lot of individuals that are, you know, not specifically within the WordPress community that benefit from what we're doing. And as a board of trustees, we got together, we sat down, we said, look, what are we doing here? What's happening globally? You know, what's happening to the people around us right now? We're seeing millions of people being forced into a working environment that they're just not used to, being forced into a situation which, you know, has a huge potential to impact these individuals from a well-being and mental health perspective. And we know this. We know this working model. We understand how this works. We've been doing this for years, and we've been developing support models and mechanisms for people in this environment. So why would we not want to try and deliver this to these people, right, and to a global community right now that would potentially benefit from it? So it just brought our timelines way forward from the original plan. So
how was that from an administrative task? Like, how long did it take from, you said, you know what, you met with the team and you said, it's time to rebrand, up until launching the brand? What was that timeline like?
Far too short. So the initial conversation at trustee level happened almost exactly 2 months from that initial conversation to the point where we said we are now this new brand. But the first process required the board of trustees for us to come together for to decide what it would look like, what that, you know, how it would feel, what it is we can do. There were lots of questions that we needed to answer. Our trustees are distributed, so we were a global team. So it took several meetings for us to be able to come together and, you know, make the decisions that were needed. So in the reality, from the point of us actually saying, yes, this is going to happen, this is what we're going to do, to actually delivering it was almost exactly 4 weeks to the day. In fact, no, it wasn't almost, it was exactly 4 weeks to the day from decision through to delivery. So the entire rebrand, design, messaging, marketing, everything was accomplished in a 4 week period. So I've got.
Had you already owned the brand Big Orange Heart and you sort of said, hey, look, this is the vision I have, or did you all just come together to figure it all out?
No, we actually had a slightly different vision. Historically, we've always used the tagline, together we can press forward. And it's something that we've used for some time now through all of the WP and Up communication. And press forward really did fit the positive connotation that WP and Up was always built around. You know, we've always looked at this message of, you know, moving forward, moving up, and, you know, that, looking at the positive aspects of that message. So Press Forward was actually the brand that we had originally registered and we were originally going to go forward with for this pivot. But again, we, you know, we looked at that, we discussed it, and there were some conversations, and we received some feedback from community members that they were possibly just a slightly too closely related to WordPress. You know, there may be some confusion as to whether this was still specifically a WordPress focused service. So we really felt that, actually, if we're making this decision, to offer the services out on to a wider community, there does need to be a slightly cleaner and clearer message. So Big Orange Heart was something that had the orange heart emoji had been adopted within our community. If you're an active member in our Slack community, for example, you'll see the orange heart is dotted all over the place. It's something that people have really much, very much adopted as a community. So it was something that has very naturally progressed and developed from working with our community. So it's we're very happy with the name and the fact that we looked at the what domains were available, what social media channels were available, and fortunately everything was. So we moved forward with it,
which is a rare thing these days. So
absolutely,
it's a sort of blessing in disguise. What other opportunities, aside from the brand perception of, okay, this is no longer just WordPress, but what other opportunities do you think you have now with this new brand? Do you feel like you can get into more opportunities or approach, I'll just flat out say it, approach more money, right? And just knock on people's doors and say, hey, we're looking for donations and contributions and things like that. Is that one avenue that really helps you breathe a little bit better for this stuff?
It is. It definitely is. We're not going to sugarcoat the fact that obviously as a charity, there is a financial demand. There's a financial need for us to deliver our services. To put it into some context right now, our costs are somewhere in the region between £10,000 and £12,000 per month to deliver the service. We fund mental health professionals within our organization. So there's quite a lot of cost associated with what we do and for us to deliver the services. But the focus really for us is about being able to take our knowledge, take our experience, take the service, the services that we've been developing, and deliver them to a far wider community. And obviously coming outside of the WP specific branding, so the WP and Up branding, meant that we can go into other communities. We can start having conversations with, because the issues that we're dealing with, the support that we're delivering, and they're not specific to the WordPress community by any means. And this isn't something, this isn't us coming away from the WordPress community either. I mean, we are very much, our heart is absolutely in the WordPress community, but we have the opportunity to be able to support more people through this pivot. So it's a case of, let's take this and, look at other communities and see how can we get this message into them.
So it's been a year and a half since we last chatted at this official capacity. What have been the major improvements that you've gone through with the charity, with the organization from that year and a half ago? Are you better at the messaging? Are you better at organizing the professionals? Are you better at, really fundraising, for example? Like, what are the things you have really improved over the last year and a half?
That's a great question. And I'm going to be brutally honest here. We've moved at such a pace in the last, it's been 2 years of, actively as a team working together. And there's been a lot of finding our feet. There's been a lot of figuring this out as we go. We don't have all of the answers by any means, but there's been an incredible team evolve and develop within this. And I think that's something that there's a real strength in the team that we have. There's a real strength between the individuals that make up the Big Orange Heart. There's no one individual. It very much is a team effort. And that, for me in the early days, this was something that was very passionate, and it still is very much a deep passion of mine. But in the early days, it was relinquishing that responsibility and handing over and letting other people take on some of these things was, for me, quite a difficult, quite challenging, because it was such a personal thing. And that's something that's been definitely a learning curve for me. I've run multiple businesses. I've experienced this need to pass on the responsibility. But this project, because I think it was just such a close personal project, has that particular part has been a little bit more difficult for me. But I'm really pleased to say that the team has definitely picked up that baton and done a fantastic job taking it forward.
Forgive my ignorance, but in the US, and I don't know if this is, you know, the same for you, there's all these foundations, and in I'm an hour south of Boston in the South Coast region of Massachusetts, and maybe just like everywhere else in the US and the world, there are tons of nonprofits around here that are looking to, you know, get charitable donations, apply for grants. And this is where I was going. So there's these grant writers, and you apply to foundations and hopefully receive some money. I'm assuming that's similar in your neck of the woods, yes, right? Yeah. I am so curious of that process and people's takeaway from that, because, you know, like you and I were in this WordPress world, it's the tech world. We're very used to reading things like Elementor gets $15 million in fund in a Series A. We see all these TechCrunch headlines. We're very used to seeing like this venture capital stream of money, which seemingly from the outside, it looks pretty easy, right? It's just like, people are got money everywhere, just giving me money for this idea. And I see people struggling in the nonprofit world to do these archaic grant rights, and they have to do this whole song and dance. And it's like, why can't you just do like a 1 minute awesome video and send it to these foundations? Why does it have to have all these stipulations? Who's reading these days? You know, who's reading all of this paper? No one. Why can't it be a pitch like they do in the startup world? But I'm interested, what's your experience with that? Are you going through those paces? Is it something you're getting into now?
It is very much a pain point for us. I mean, to give you an idea, we went through a grant application. This is going back about 12 months now. The grant application took us somewhere in the region of, I want to say about 3 weeks to prepare, to put together all the various bits and pieces that needed to be developed, so the various documents and so on. That application went in, that took a further 6 weeks for that application to be reviewed and the decision around it. So quite a lengthy, I mean, we're talking 9-10 weeks end to end. That was a grant for £5,000. Now that for us is half a month. And that it just, there are a lot of these loops that we have, these hoops that we have to keep jumping through. And it's definitely challenging, from that perspective. The kind of the grant funding side is not a route we've invested heavily in so far because of that exact problem. It's so time consuming. And I mean, it's an industry in its own right. We could be employing individuals on a full-time basis just to go through the grant writing process. It's very much the kind of tender application process or tender writing process that we have within the business world is the same over in the grants for the nonprofits.
It's like all these, you know, cocktail parties, you have to go and rub shoulders. Like, well, I have to be rich to go there first. I mean, right. Who's going to pay for my day job to sit here and beg other rich people for money, right? Forgive my ignorance, but have you ever mulled over with the team? And it's probably not possible, but is there like a commercial entity or something of like, you know, a for-profit thing, but still supporting and sustaining community? Has that ever come across the radar at all?
Yes, absolutely. We're actively working on two projects right now that essentially would become the bread and butter of the charity. So as a registered charity, as a nonprofit, we are actually allowed to make a profit, but that profit obviously needs to be invested back into the charity. So we're developing two services that will effectively start to generate the income, so we become self-sustaining, so we're not reliant on the need for donations, for grants, for sponsorship deals and so on, for us to be able to sustain the services that we provide. That's the ultimate goal. We always want to be able to be in a situation where the charity can stand on its own two feet financially. There's no difference between trying to run a business and trying to run a charity in that perspective. But it's a challenge trying to get that, as with any business, trying to get that service off the ground, trying to get it profitable, so it can sustain itself. We've done a lot of work in this rebrand process, looking at our sponsorship deals specifically and looking at what that's, you know, what was working, what wasn't, how can we deliver this in a better way? We want to ensure that we're delivering value in everything that we're doing. So there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of conversation around that. And historically, we have offered, so to start off with, we offered a single sponsorship package. And that single sponsorship package was a kind of a global package of the charity. Everything that we do, all the events, all the podcasts, all the services, etc. We were creating exposure across the company or companies that would purchase that single package. That single package was sold at £75,000 annually. All of this information is publicly available. The obviously, that price point pushed a lot of companies, pushed a lot of companies away, particularly in the WordPress space. I think we're certainly used to a lower level of sponsorship. When we look at WordCamps, when we look at meetups, there are much, much lower costs often associated with sponsorship packages. So we looked at that, we asked questions, we changed our sponsorship package about 9 months ago. And it's worked to a degree, but there was definitely things that we could improve upon. And one of them was actually the administration of sponsorship, as well as the value that's being delivered. So we've gone back to having a single sponsorship package. But what we've done is taken all the stuff that was working, all the good stuff within the various of the two options that we've had, and packaged it up as a single package. But now what was offered at £75,000 is now being offered at £10,000. But we're offering it to multiple companies. So obviously, whereas we may have had one or two companies previously, we're now looking for obviously a larger number of companies, but delivering way more value into them. So there's a lot of work around the kind of the business model of all of this.
So I'd imagine this whole COVID pandemic is a twofold for you. On one side, There is plenty of help for you to give out, especially in these times. So it's a great opportunity, if I can say that, it's a great opportunity to reach more people, right? People who need help, this is a great resource for it, right? So I'm sure on one side of the house, there's a lot of need coming in, right? A lot of people knocking on the door. On the flip side, the events, giving value back to sponsors, advertisers, that kind of thing. Now that's the challenge, right? Other companies tightening their belts. Now it might be harder for you to get that money, even though you can prove that there's a quantity of people that could use these services. How has this balance for you been, and how are you sort of gauging the next maybe say 90 days till the fall time is basically what I guess we're all projecting to things get back to a normalcy, if even.
Trying to find that new normal is right. It's the challenge that we're all facing right now. I mean, to put this into perspective, we've had in recent weeks we've seen more than 310% increase in demand for communication with the charity. And obviously that stretched us. It's meant that we've had to work hard to meet that need. Couple that with the fact we saw more than a 90% decrease in public donations, it was a very challenging time. Time. Yeah. That we fully understand why we've seen a 90% decrease in public donations. We fully support the message at this time. We've got to be financially responsible. We've got to ensure that there's the money in our accounts that's needed to ensure we can cover our bills, etc. So donations, we understand, we move way down the priority list at this time. So looking at how we can find ways of supporting that, find ways of changing that, has definitely been at the forefront of a lot of the conversations that we've been having.
The world seems to be moving to what we're doing right now. Hopefully, fingers crossed, this works. I'm recording on Zoom, and hopefully the video aspect of this does translate over to the final product. But we're talking on Zoom now. The world seems to be moving to a Zoom environment. Conferences, meetups, people are, hanging out with friends and family on Zoom and various other platforms. Has that been the model in terms of events, right, for the future? Is that something where you're saying, hey, look, for the next 90 days at least, maybe we're organizing more online events happening than we ever imagined, and sort of you know, shaping that around a solution for advertisers or sponsors, you know, moving forward?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've literally come out of meetings today discussing this exact issue. And it's been, there's been a lot of conversation around this. We've delivered in-person events now for quite some time. And when we've delivered our in-person events, we've always live streamed those events. So we've always had an aspect of having a virtual audience, if you like, with our events. So us actually transitioning to a fully virtual event hasn't been too much of a challenge for us because we've had a tech stack that we've been fairly familiar with already. But being completely honest, solutions like Zoom don't really work for things like virtual meetups because you end up with 30, 40, 50, 60 people all trying to, you know, get onto a Zoom call, and the platform, as good as it is, isn't designed for that kind of community conversation. It's really designed for one person to be speaking at a time, which isn't really a natural way of having a, you know, a meetup or a conference. So we've been heavily investing time in actually developing our own in-house solution that enables people to have this ability to come in to a platform. We have, you know, our keynote speakers. We have our speakers, you know, that they can obviously watch. We've got live chats available for people for the community to interact with one another. But then we also have video breakout rooms, so people can just dot in and out between different rooms and have conversations with smaller groups, as you would normally do in a more natural environment when you're, you know, in person. We wouldn't, when we head over to a WordCamp, I know the hallway track is, you know, that's where I am. I spend very, very little time actually going to the talks, but I don't spend the time with everybody that's in the hallway track all at the same time. I'll move between different groups and have different conversations. And that's the environment that we're trying to replicate at this stage. And it's coming together. We're very excited about the way that's happening. But it's also offering the opportunity then also for sponsors to come in and be able to be part of that conversation. So there's a lot of work gone into that recently.
Has it been a challenge on the flip side for the opportunity it creates for, you know, branding awareness, sponsors? Has it been a challenge for helping and servicing individuals who are looking for services? Are some people apprehensive to maybe say jump on a Zoom call, or maybe the technology is too challenging for them? Or are people in this space just accustomed to a Zoom or a Google Meetup kind of thing and there is no issue?
Mm. Our services have always been focused on delivering a global support system, which has meant we've always had to do it this way. We've always had video, text, and phone support services. So on the whole, people are, you know, very kind of accustomed, very used to this model for us. So in that respect, not much has changed for us, which we're very thankful for. It's meant that people are quite kind of used to and accustomed to this model for accessing our support services.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I've seen, and I'm sure you have too, and sort of everyone listening to this is it's hilarious to watch the local government, my city local government, they're all using Zoom now, right? So instead of going to City Hall and having the city council meeting at City Hall, now everyone's doing it from Zoom. And my God, it is a circus to watch these people, you know, and you've got every single bad example of a Zoom user. You know, you've got the person who's sitting in front of a bright window behind them, so it's just a dark silhouette. And there's people where the laptop cameras going to the ceiling and you just see their eyebrows when they're talking. It's just like, come on, people, it's 2020. Let's get together with this technology.
Yeah.
Man, it is hilarious.
It is. There are so many challenges when it comes to this. And for us, we've obviously been very focused within the WordPress community historically, which, you know, a large percentage of, and you know, I don't want to cut anybody out here, but the large percentage of the community have a level of technical understanding to be able to get onto a Zoom call and have a conversation. The way we're moving, we're opening up to more communities and individuals and communities that may not necessarily have technical expertise. So there is this challenge, and there are these, you know, we're going to be facing new challenges as we progress. One of our services is about is enabling mental health professionals to be able to deliver their services via video conferencing. So there's this learnings that we're having to go through at the moment, in terms of people accessing that. And we're just all in everything we're doing, we try and bring the barrier to entry down as much as possible, because we want to be focused on the support. And that's, you know, that's really what this is about. It's not about, we want the tech to get out of the way and make sure that the service that's being delivered is the, you know, the mental health professional.
This might be jumping ahead, or maybe something that is unexplored at this point, but it just popped into my head. Maybe it's already popped into your head and your team's creative thinking. Is this an opportunity for mental health professionals, social workers who may have lost their job because of COVID to say, hey, there's opportunity here too. And this is one way to help bridge that gap of, resources, where you have this big demand coming in, not enough people, but now maybe with the rebranding and the restructuring, you can say, hey, if you are a professional and you've displaced, here's a new opportunity for you to work. Is that something that's doable in your model?
It is, absolutely. And it's one of, as I mentioned, there were two projects that we've got work that we're working on currently internally. And one of those is essentially that. So we're looking at how can we support this community? We've got this unique opportunity where we're combining the technical skills that we have as a community with obviously the mental health professional community, and bringing those two together is really enabling us to deliver some really quite fantastic results. And so we're very excited about where this is going to be going, where the potential for this, because it really is, as dire as things may seem for some people right now, we're really trying to look at the positives and finding ways that we can actually deliver new services at this time, which have the potential to go way beyond our new normal. It becomes all part of this new normal that we spoke about. It's actually in 12 months time, in 24 months time, there's potential for this to continue to be delivered as is.
I can see a world where maybe even somebody who is a mental health professional at some, larger organization, and when things the dust sort of settles, or there's a restructure of things, maybe the folks that they've helped through your organization could connect somehow and be like, hey, I helped this WordPress developer through some tough times. Maybe that WordPress developer want to help us now, work on our, site, or, creating an e-commerce, whatever, like the surface things. But still, there's opportunity for two worlds to come together, which, might never have without this effort.
That's right. We've seen this come across already. We've actually seen this happen within our community. We've got both professional communities collaborating together in our community, and seeing those types of conversations happen already, which has been fantastic to see.
So if people who are listening to this and watching this, if they can't fork over the £10,000 or the big chunk of change, what can folks do to help in a monetary way?
Mm-hmm. Well, every single penny goes directly into delivering this support into the community. And we're really asking, the ask is very simple, $10 a month. $10 a month enables us to be able to deliver the services. If we can get individuals from our community doing that, then this is something we can continue to scale, continue to grow. Everything that we've done has been about how do we get this as a scalable model to support more people. So if individuals listening to this have the ability to, if they want to visit fund.bigorangeheart.org, head over there. $10 a month is a perfect amount, because it means that we are able to then continue to do what we're doing, providing this free mental health support into our communities. So I'd really appreciate it if anybody has the ability to, then they do.
I've seen some creative ways that people have supported you. We're both wearing dueling Matt Report hats. Folks who are listening to it, store.mattreport.com. All the profits go to the foundation. Matter of fact, I have to go and change. I think my site still says WP and up everywhere, so I have to go through and change that. But then I also noticed the other day that your colleague Nathan Wrigley launched the WP Builds store with the same concept. Buy a hat or buy a t-shirt and maybe even a mug. So he's already outpacing me on product selection. and all of his profits will go to the store. Have there been any other creative endeavors like that? Or
there have, yeah. And I want to just have an opportunity just to say a personal thank you. Because yes, we're sitting here with our matching hats. I thought I couldn't come on here without it. The community has done a fantastic job at trying to find ways to support us. As you've mentioned, Nathan at WP Builds has set up a similar situation, similar scenario. We had the Give WP team, for example, did a great job at WordCamp Miami when we were able to all come together as a community, taking a selfie, and they were donating $1 for every selfie that had the particular hashtag. We're aware of some other companies coming up around WordCamp Europe, the upcoming WordCamp Europe, that are supporting us. I know one of our sponsors, Yoast, are doing some fantastic stuff leading into WordCamp Europe, which really has this focus around supporting the charity in unique and unusual ways. And we're really grateful for people taking the time. And it's, you know, can we find a fun way of doing it? And things like these, the hats, the swag, the bits that, you know, you actually get something for it. You know, you're not just handing over your $10, you might be handing over your $20 and getting a t-shirt, and you know, there's something that you've got in tangible return. But of course, that money has then also gone, a portion of that money's gone to support the charity.
I'd like to see more WordPress shops, digital products, you know, take a month and donate a certain portion. I've also been donating 20% of whoever you heard me read the ad for at the top of the show, 20% of all ad revenue also going to the foundation. So yes, folks, there's definitely ways to get creative. If you're a WordPress company out there, service or product, and you say, I don't know of a creative way, just knock on my door. I'll tell you how to get creative. It starts with 20% and it goes up from there.
Absolutely.
Dan, it's been an amazing conversation. I am glad that things are going well, and the positive impact that you've had on the community, and now what we'll see as a positive impact across the globe and sort of with the new Big Orange Heart brand. One more time for the listeners, where can folks find you to donate and to say thanks?
Excellent. Thank you. Well, if you want to donate, fund.bigorangeheart.org. And if you want to connect, basically anything /bigorangeheart, or you can get me personally at Dan Maybe, DanMaby. And I'm awesome. Happy to connect with anyone.
Everybody else, mattreport.com/subscribe to join that mailing list. And again, one last time, if you want to support, go to store.mattreport.com. And from there, you can purchase a hat or a t-shirt. 100% of the profits will go to, even though the site might say WP and up by the time I change this, it'll go to a Big Orange Heart, and that'll be donated there. And again, thank our sponsors. If you heard our sponsors at the top of the show, 20% of their donation or their sponsorship goes through as a donation. All right, everybody, we'll see you in the next episode.